WTBR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Five Minnesota residents have been convicted of stealing some $40 million in COVID relief money meant to feed children. U.S. Attorney Joe Thompson.
This conduct was not just criminal, it was depraved. Brazen.
Hunter Biden's daughter Naomi, among defense witnesses testifying today, CBS's Scott McFarlane is in Wilmington, Delaware.
She said she was noticing her father's addiction, noticing how much of an impact the death of Beau Biden was having on the family, but that she never saw Hunter Biden do drugs in front of her.
Defense attorneys have the weekend to decide whether or not Hunter Biden will testify. The Labor Department says 272,000 jobs were added to the economy in May. CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
The report also showed workers' wages increased 4.1%, which was better than expected. And when people make more, they tend to spend more.
But both the Dow and NASDAQ closed the week with losses. CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Certain kinds of guns will be allowed within the Republican Convention Security Zone in Milwaukee in July. A Common Council committee is rejecting an effort by one alderman to ban all guns inside the RNC security footprint. The city attorney's office notes state law prevents local governments from putting a full ban in place. Other guns, like fully automatic weapons, are banned. Efforts are underway to motivate young people in rural Wisconsin to vote. Organizer Emma Frederick says rural college students from western Wisconsin say they often feel overlooked.
This is the first time that anyone's talked to them about voting. And while their parents might want to help or their parents don't know themselves, this is a new experience for them.
A recent study shows 63% of rural young people are infrequent or uncommitted voters. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following are upcoming meetings in the listening area for Monday, June 10th. In Wood County, the Public Safety Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse. The Joint Legislative Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the Marathon County Courthouse. The Wisconsin Rapids Parks and Recreation Commission will meet at 4 p.m. in the first floor conference room, and the Committee of the Whole will meet at 6 in the council chambers. The North Central Community Action Program Incorporated Executive Board of Directors will meet at 5:30 by teleconference. The WRPS regular board meeting will begin at 6 at the board office on Peach Street. The Town of Rome will hold their Police and Fire Commission meeting at 4. The Town of Grand Rapids will have their Plan Commission meeting at 6. In Portage County, the Transit Commission will meet at 4:45, and the Finance Committee will meet at 5. In Adams County, the Library Board will meet at 2, and the Health and Human Services Committee at 4. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers look to bounce back. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. The Brewers are in Detroit for a weekend series against the Tigers after being swept earlier this week by Philadelphia. But manager Pat Murphy says the Philly series will help the team going forward.
Every game could have went either way. Taking these on the chin here against best record in the National League. Hopefully that sits in the right place for these guys and they understand, hey, we're right there.
Milwaukee continues to juggle its roster as 8 pitchers and 9 total players are on the DL. First pitch in Detroit is scheduled for 5:40 p.m. The Boston Celtics took Game 1 of the NBA Finals, winning 107-89 over the Dallas Mavericks. Jaylen Brown scored 22 points, while Jason Tatum had 16 points and 11 rebounds. Game 2 is Sunday night. 3 state high school championships are this weekend. State softball and tennis are today and tomorrow in Madison, and the first ever state lacrosse championship is Saturday in Sun Prairie. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds return to the area tonight, some rain developing late, and lows in the low 50s. For tomorrow, more clouds around, a couple of showers early, then maybe some sunny peaks in the afternoon. Highs to the low 70s. Nice Sunday, mostly sunny, high mid 70s. Right now it's 73.
Burgers stacked with mushrooms on Wisconsin Swiss cheese, or piled high with smoked brisket, crispy bacon, Wisconsin Gouda, lettuce, tomato, sweet barbecue sauce, and a fried pickle, or simply topped with cheese and fried onions, Monk's Bar & Grill offers classic and gourmet burgers for lunch, dinner, and game day. Whatever you are craving, Monk's has you covered with 7 locations statewide. Monk's Bar & Grill is ready for your next game day visit and is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Max Inc. Radio.
The piano gal, Marta Hansen, will be rolling her keyboard from Sun Prairie to our studio for a Saturday Night Live concert. I'm Terry Barr. Join me, Rocker, and Jimmy K.
Weekend evenings, 6 until midnight, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll take a look back at what happened over the weekend and get you prepared for a statewide tour with our friend Jane Matinair. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
There it is. Busted Pencils Friday. Johnny Lupinacci, TGIFBP. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. Yeah, educated educators talking education, fully leaded education talk. The number is 855-752-4842. Jess and Anya, both in the house. Everybody's here. All right, round and round. How's everybody doing on a Friday here? Start with Jess.
Starting with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. You know what? Good. It's a Friday. Been doing some regulating. Feeling good. Mm-hmm. Feeling ready for the weekend. Throw to Anya.
Whoa, popcorn to me. I'm doing pretty good. It's been a crazy week in different ways than normal, but a type of crazy that is more suited to my type of crazy. So I'd say I'm having a good week and I'm glad to be back on air with you guys. I've been listening, if not on the board, listening to the podcast, and you guys covered a lot this week. So I'm excited for this wrap up. If we can wrap this all up in one, that'd be crazy.
Sure we can.
And I'll pop to Johnny.
Well, I'm doing great. You know, it's Friday. It's June. The weather's gorgeous. We had an awesome show last night with my new neighbor. Actually, he is like right down the street from me. You know, Jethro Jones. He was a great guest, but, you know, rock star education leader and thinker to nudge us to rethink what we claim to know about learning. I loved, you know, being able to talk with him and meet him. But you know what? It's the first day of summer for me. I wrapped up my teaching responsibilities for the school calendar year yesterday. And I was tired today. I was like, why? I wanted to do all kinds of stuff, go on a walk, go do things. I did it. But I was like, you know, I probably should have just rested because I'm actually kind of tired. It's like that calm after the big hype was all turned up, but I'm done for summer. And I love this Friday kind of routine that we stumbled across where we were like, hey, let's break down the week. We cover so much and we have so many great guests and so many amazing callers and things that we talk about all week. But being able to come on Friday and just hear from you, Jess, and Anya and Tim, and we just kind of look back at the week and kind of put a wrap on it. But before we get to that, Tim, what's an important thing about every Busted Pencils show?
One of the most important things is Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. Johnny, when you're talking about it's June, I thought you were going to launch into which is the three reasons why you became a teacher, June, July, and August.
Oh, hey, now.
Well, oddly, Tim, I just recently, in my whole teaching career, which we did a little retrospective of in the last show, there was a little quiz on like when did you start teaching things. But for many years, I didn't really, I mean, the seasons changed, but a lot of the school models I was teaching in were year round. And so education, I mean, there was summer. It was nice outside. We did more outside and we, you know, had some summer breaks, but we were on a year round calendar. We can get into that sometime looking at like the research about, you know, good education, especially in high need communities. How important
I was just going to tease you though. You know, that was the whole thing. I know the only reason you're being a teacher is for June, July, and August.
It was like, oh, the sarcasm guy.
Yeah, you know, the sarcasm guy.
Dude, we talked about this. This guy.
No, that guy, you know, but he said, I had a lot of those, you know, roommates and college fraternity brothers that, you know, as I was becoming an elementary school teacher and they were in business and all those things, they were just, you know, they would constantly give me the, oh, you know, so you're just going to be off all summer. What kind of major is that? And I'd be like, well, you know, here's the deal. Like, you can go over to the advising office and change your major. Yeah. There's nothing, you know, it's like yeah. People are yelling at me because of the major I chose. As if it was a lottery, I ended up in the teaching major and they ended up in the business and all the other majors. And it was just like, you know, it's like, can give me a break, man. And then, you know, homework nights, I'd be sitting there cutting out gingerbread men and stuff like that. And, you know, and they'd be doing that. They're like, that's not homework, dude. I'm like, hey, that's it, though. You all had a choice. You know what, though?
Choices. All choices have consequences.
Yeah. Lots and lots and lots of great guests. Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, Matt Damon's mom, checking it out. You know, Educators Amplified, Jethro Jones coming on the show. But, you know, first thing
Jonathan Jerko.
Yeah, you know, especially from AQ, all kinds of stuff. But science of reading, I just want to pop that in there because Matt Damon's mom, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, I told people this, you know, if you paid attention to the socials after that episode, a little bit of a hornet's nest there that show stirred up in those who support the science of reading were not happy that Dr. Nancy Carlson Page made fun of their movie, which is called Sold a Story. They were very upset that she would dare criticize a documentary that proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that the science of reading was the only way you could ever teach reading. They were not happy with Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, Matt Damon's mom, because she said, I think that was a whole bunch of hooey. That might even been the word she said, too.
I think hooey. That is the word she used, was hooey.
Dang, I really wish now that my Rotten Pumpkins reviews had a hooey button that I could just say, this film was hooey. I don't make me say more about it. That's a good film review term right there.
Yeah, I love it.
But it just points out, though, that topic, you know, the whole idea of teaching reading has been for the longest time, 100 years. People say they're called the reading wars. They change sides every so often. They give them different names. They give them different labels. But it's kind of there's the old school, how you have to learn reading. And then there's always some form of a progressive reading. But Dr. Nancy Carlson Page was talking about 3Q-ing. A way to use text to help readers learn, you know, young kids, help them learn to make sense of the written word language using, yes, sounds, but using context, using understanding, using a whole bunch of other knowledges. And boy, the science of reading people were just absolutely upset with Busted Pencils for bringing on Matt Damon's mom and advocating 3Q-ing, because Joni, as I said, and I'm in one of those states, 3Q-ing has literally been outlawed in states. Outlawed. You cannot teach it if you are getting public monies in this state. You look confused, Don Lupinaggi.
Well, I get confused anytime someone tells me something's outlawed, because I'm always like, is it though, really? Because, I mean, again,
it is,
like,
in
we made
over 10 states, it is illegal to use the 3Q-ing system to teach reading.
But here's what I'm gonna. Here's what I'm saying. It is to me, and I'm gonna put this out there. Good teachers, you know, call in, give us like teach us differently. 855-752-4842. What I'm gonna say is this is marketing to sell a new thing that is just like a repackaging of one or less or some variation that we already know from the experts isn't as good as like having a full toolbox. This is like telling me as a carpenter, right? I used to be a plumber, so I could say like, hey, you can't bring your wrench, right? Or a carpenter, you no longer can swing a hammer. You have to use this other tool. I think we're going to really see, because if we go back, I know they don't want us to call it 3Qing, or they say you can't use the curriculum that is shaped by 3Qing. But if you find a teacher, a good teacher out there who's teaching reading, even with the approved curriculum that's not using the semantic, the context from level cues and clues in this in the reading, the syntactic, the grammatical features, the sounds of letters, right? Or the what's the other one now? We have the syntactic, the semantic, and
the graphophonemic.
Yeah, the patterns, the spelling patterns, the graphophonemic, right? This is why I was terrible in my like literacy courses. secondary ed teacher here. So I didn't teach children to read. I mean, I'm trying out the sarcasm. I helped people become stronger readers, but most students, right, already learned to read, but everyone learns to read, right? Especially in the younger grades or in our early years. And I just think when we say it's outlawed, I get that legislators are making that. They're doing that to like rig markets. We're still going to need to do this. We're still going to need to do this to teach. And also this is like, this might be the anarchist in me. Okay. So come get me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Johnny's
like, come
get me. Those secret midnight learning sessions.
Yeah. 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 Round up, you know, the Mrs. S's and the Mrs. K and all the people who are out there doing the good work in first grade classrooms, teaching our children to read.
Three cures, we're going to get you away. Got a comment from Damon Hargraves, who we met last night. Finally, going to be on the show. Got a pitch out to him to get on there. The science of reading, quote, versus scientifically based practices.
Yeah.
Yeah, Damon. I mean, that's the reality. And again, though, Johnny, that goes to what you're saying. There is marketing here. And in fact, calling it the science of reading, there is no such thing. This is a marketing tactic to get people to believe that this is a science. And it's supposedly saying, hey, guess what? It's settled. Everybody understands. Everybody knows this is the right way. Well, if we actually had scientifically based practices, of which we always have our friend Paul Thomas on, well, actually, if we used scientifically based practices to teach kids to read, we'd use a whole lot of things, because the research, the scientific literature on learning to read, is pretty thick with multiple methodologies, texts, curriculum, because guess what? As Jethro Jones told us last night, learning ain't pretty, man. It's a messy, messy, nasty, wicked spinning and churning and up and down. And guess what? Hey, science doesn't know that much, man. Sorry, big bit long, busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Jump in, give us a call. What was the best part of this week for you? 855-752-4842. Yeah, we'll continue when we get back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
Matt Mayer on air.
I've never played this game. Uno is great because kids can play against adults without being overmatched, and adults can play it together and still have fun.
Robert from McFarland flipped a table during an Uno game.
Maybe this is why I don't play these games.
Oh, I would love to play Uno with you.
You want to have an Uno fest?
Yeah, that would be awesome. We
could, like, have an Uno Fest for charity or something.
That'd be cool.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Am I loud and clear? Or am I breaking up?
Oh, that was me, yeah. I was singing Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Hey, my name's Tim too. Tim's the lead singer for Rise Against. I thought I'd try a little bit, you know, show you my, never mind, man. Busted Pencils, yeah. What a great week. Science of Reading, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, Matt Damon's mom, Educators Amplified, Jonathan Gurko, Jethro Jones, marketing. It all comes in there. And, you know, thinking about that too, kind of go, we had a great guest though in Jonathan Gurko, who came on to talk about, this was like a week of really getting deep into mixing things up, the terms, things we think we know and what they really mean, because we got into what does public mean. And Jonathan, Anya, I don't know if you had an opportunity, you know, with that to say, public is a lot more complicated. After you spend time reading Jonathan's book, Publicization, and you listen to our show, I thought it was pretty easy up until I met Jonathan. Now he confused me.
Yeah, I thought it was an excellent episode. And to just start from the title of his book being Publicization, and opening with, well, we have a word, we have privatization, and we don't really have a word for the undoing or the uninhibiting of this thing being tied to, well, now it's going to be a private company doing its own thing. How do we take this thing back that maybe it was public or never was and put it back into public hands? How do we do that? How do we do that when we don't even have the words for it, like the very title of his book suggests? So I thought that was great. And I think, too, to say, you know, I thought I understood, and the more I learned, the less I knew. Like, that is the wonderful bell curve of expertise, is when you know just like a percent, a half a percent, you're like, I'm the expert. I'm king of the world. I know everything there is to know. But you push on those questions. It's like, well, what does it mean to give it back? Who is it going back to? Like, how do we untangle, in the literal sense of, let's put forward a solution that in the end, this isn't a problem anymore. Wouldn't that be crazy if we started solving problems till they were solved? That'd be awesome. Mm.
Too radical, Anya. Too radical.
Oh, God, they keep telling me that. but I think that is what he's trying to do in this instance, is a lot of people say, well, wouldn't it be great if this was in the public hands, this service or this good, like internet connection as an example, not to say nationalize, not to say put it in the hands of the government, but to publicize it.
Publicize,
you know,
nice.
We got it. Yeah, I'm working on my vocabulary and my pronunciation. But I think that simple part in all the complex is really important, to just say, if we've not invented a word for it, have we done all the work we can? And I think his answer and my answer is no, but we're still working on it. That's what's important.
It puts together this idea, though, too, is if, you know, particularly looking at saying, you know, well, one of the things we can tell about privatize, he uses the exclusionary test.
Right.
And he put forward there to go like, OK, and if this happens, oh, guess what? You're not public. And so, you know, I kind of like that way of kind of, you know, looking at and going, OK, do we want to know if something's public? Well, then here are the exclusionary tests. Does it this? Does it that? Johnny Lupinacci, publicization. You keep saying publicization. Tell me, you have a long I in it when you say it, man.
publicization. I don't know what you're talking about, Tim. Okay. You need to get you some new headphones, man.
Publicization. That's what you were saying.
Yeah, like privatization, publicization.
Oh, there we go.
I mean, to me, I don't know. I guess I don't hear. I'm saying it differently.
This is just Detroit versus Pennsylvania. Or sorry, Michigan versus Pennsylvania all over again. You guys both think the other has an accent.
I'm applying the queuing system. Using my grammo phonetic thing, and the Ohio curriculum police are going to
arrest. I was going to say the science of reading police are going to come after you.
They're already on their way, Johnny. They're driving from Ohio to you.
No, you know what? I'll just go. It's Friday. I'll just say they won't, because they won't be able to profile me like so many of the Ohio police are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll slide right under the radar with the rest of the first grade teachers that are, you know, we already know we have too many white teachers, so they're not going to be able to racially probe. We're going to just run game by teaching the three queuing system. They're going to crack down. They're going to stop the cartel by preventing us from teaching kids to read.
That's right. They never would have gotten into all that nefarious stuff if they couldn't have read the offer in the text. That's it. Yes.
The three queuing system is a gateway to bad things. Yeah,
you know, going back to that
literacy. And democracy and democratic participation. And it is connected to, because publicization is like together. Like, how do we reclaim a public responsibility for good education, good healthcare, great transportation, safe neighborhoods, you know, connection and stability, not control and more enforcement. That's just like more rules, and not even rules that enforce anything, rules to make us have to buy your thing.
Yeah.
Jess, I wanted to ask Jess this question, though, because where Jonathan got me, and I'm not sure where I'm at on this, but I had my own kind of like, look, it's public when, particularly when we're talking about public schools, is as long as you have an elected school board. If the schools are under the control of an elected school board, people representative of the community, to me, that was the kind of going, okay, that's public. And the reason why that distinguishing came up is that some charter schools that get public money get themselves out of the control or the oversight of elected school boards. And that to me says, okay, you're not really a public school, because public schools are under the watch of an elected school board, therefore a democratically elected board, and that was the public. And Jonathan kind of said, well, wait a minute. He challenged me on that a little bit. I don't know, Jess, what do you think?
So what I loved about that conversation was it got us past the initial talk of what makes something public and into what is the role of public education in creating and sustaining a democracy. So when he's talking about a lot of charter schools fall through those cracks and they are no longer really public because their school boards are appointed rather than elected, well, then that school can't fulfill the idea of continuing democracy because they themselves are not participating in democracy. So for me, the way that he explained it, it made perfect sense that, even though technically, according to tax statements, this school is public, but when we actually look at what the reality is on the ground, that's not a public school. It's not fulfilling the promise of democracy. It's not furthering the goals of democracy.
The promise of democracy. I love that, man. Public schools fulfilling the promise of democracy. That sounds like something to go on a t-shirt. Speaking of which, Johnny Lupinacci, man, nice new Busted Pencils t-shirt there.
Yeah.
BP, I got the old one on. Yeah, check it out, man. The new Ray Gun Busted Pencil store. You get your stickers and your merchandise. Yeah, man, Busted Pencils. You can wear it wherever you go. There it is. There it is. The big fist breaking those pencils. Busted Pencils, fully led at education talk. What does learning look like? And how do we regulate when we get back? These pages and replace them with our own words. We live on front porch.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Find your station and get set to text for your chance to win in this statewide contest. It's your shot to win with Scotty Summer on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Do you know or work with kids who have special healthcare needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Let's get back to the game here on WFHR.
Raptor fans, welcome into historic Winter Field on WFHR. We have a ball game tonight here at home. Don't worry, fans. I know pregame show is going to start a little late here. Andy Ockham, your voice of the Raptors. We just came back, but we do have the national anthem. So wait 2 more minutes, and then you'll have your official Raptors pregame show. And first pitch next here on your home of the Raptors, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
At CBD American Shaman, we're here to support your journey to wellness with legal hemp-derived products. Our certified CBD consultants offer a clinical approach to meet your specific needs, whether it's easing chronic discomfort, reducing stress, or improving sleep. We're passionate educators helping you understand the benefits of hemp without the stigma. Discover the natural, legal way to a balanced life at CBD American Shaman. Visit us today and experience the difference.
Construction again.
Thanks for tuning in to WFHR. The Birthday and Anniversary Club is sponsored by El Cafe Restaurant.
Really, man? It is hot. I'm stuck in traffic. Now I'm hungry.
Don't let your hunger monster win today. Feed it with a carnita burrito or taco.
That sounds really good right now.
El Cafe in Fort Edwards, where your hunger problem is a taco away.
Yeah, probably closed with all this construction.
Just go west on Verbunker, then south on 3rd until you get to 221 Market Avenue in Fort Edwards, Wisconsin.
Well, that was easy.
Now, let's get back to exciting Raptors baseball here on WFHR.
There's no place like home, and home sweet home is in Wisconsin Rapids at Witter Field. Welcome back, Raptor fans. Andy Ockham, your voice of the Raptors on WFHR.
the boys are back in town after being away for a week. We have another Firework Friday for the fifth home game of the 2024 Northwoods League season. Beer, Wisconsin, Rapids, Raptors. It's the third of four straight against the Madison Mallards. The Ducks coming to town after the Raptors went to the Duck Pond for back-to-back ball games on Wednesday and Thursday night. Let's take a look at last night's battle in Madison at Warner Park. It was another unfortunate Raptor loss, the final score being 4-3. The Mallards began the scoring with a three-run third inning. Ultimate cross with one out and then two outs in the frame. Bases were loaded against the Raptor left-hander Arnaud Ruhlmekic. A ground ball back to the mound from the three-hitter Alex Harrell. Drove in the first run of the ballgame. Ruhlmekic looked home and might have had a play at the dish, but instead elected to get the easy out at first, allowing the first run to come in and score and be the second out of the inning. One batter later, it was the cleanup hitter, and tonight's cleanup hitter, Blake Guerin for Madison, depositing a two-run single into left to make it a 3-0 ball game. The Raptors would then score three way later on in the ballgame in the top of the seventh, all coming on two outs. Kyler McIntosh, the shortstop from Alabama, said it was his first hit as a Raptor, a bloop single to center field, made it a 3-2 ball game. One batter later, the three-hitter Jack Mathie took one the other way, a one-hopper off the right field wall and an RBI double to knot it at three. A fielder's choice in the bottom of the eighth inning with the bases loaded and one out. Could have been an inning-ending 4-6-3 double play, but the catcher David Whittle for the Mallards beat out a throw to first to make it 4-3, and that's how the ballgame ended. Ricky Williams is the starter tonight for Wisconsin Rapids. His first pitch of this ballgame into the left-handed hitting Charlie Marion is taken low for ball one. Let's look at the starting lineups for tonight's ballgame. First for the visiting Mallards. They're led out on the mound by Coley Kilpatrick, the right-hander, who will take the mound in the bottom half of the first inning. We'll hear more about him then as Jack Mathie, after this first pitch, getting a new glove behind home plate. Charlie Marion, the man of the box right now, the left-handed hitting right fielder, will lead things off. Davis Hamilton, for the third straight game against the Raptors, will hit second and play second. Alex Harrell will hit third as the DH. Blake Guerin will clean things up at first base. Will Vierling, he caught the first game of four straight between these two teams at the Duck Pond. He'll hit fifth behind the plate as the 1-0 pitch from Williams misses low and out for ball two. Jake Monroe, the third baseman, will hit sixth. Liam Moreno out in left field will hit seventh. Corbin Dickerson in center field will hit eighth. And Shea Robinson rounds out the Mallard order, hitting ninth. 2-0 from Williams misses low and out for ball three. For the Raptors, we've already mentioned it's the second start of the season for Ricky Williams. Let's see who's behind him. Miles Vandenhoevel lead off for Wisconsin Rapids in center field. Trotter Boston will hit second at short as the 3-0 pitch is in there for a called strike on Charlie Marion. Jack Mathie will hit third and catch. Jorge Degatti makes his return to Witter Field in the cleanup spot at third base. 3-1 the count. Here's the next pitch from Williams. That misses low and outside for ball four. Five-pitch walk drawn by Marion to lead off the ballgame here in the top of the first. We left off in the five spot of the Raptor order. That's the right-handed hitting shortstop, Kyler McIntosh. Jake Beauchesne will hit sixth in left field. Grayson Schaefer begins the bottom third of the Raptor order, hitting seventh at first base. Tyler McClanahan will hit eighth in right field. And Alex Brody, the designated hitter for Wisconsin Rapids, will hit ninth. It'll be Davis Hamilton now with a runner on. Nobody out in this top of the first inning. First pitch to him from Williams misses inside, nearly hitting the second baseman, having to get out of the way of that one. Let's look at our keys to the ballgame as we are two batters in. Key number one, keep up the timely hitting. We mentioned the three runs that Wisconsin Rapids put up all in the seventh inning last night, coming with two outs. Continuing to string those together and keep the inning alive. A time called with our umpiring crew. And we have our crew tonight. It is the crew chief, Shem Martin, behind home plate. Brandon Wells is down the first baseline, and William Jett is the third base umpire. Second key to the game. It's always, and it's going to take, more than one inning. All three runs for Wisconsin Rapids scored in one inning last night. All six runs that they had in game one against the Mallards were scored in the top of the seventh. Going to need more than one multiple run inning to keep up with this high-octane Mallard offense. The 1-0 pitch to Hamilton misses low and out for ball two. And the third and final key, be wary the second time around the order. Ricky Williams in his first start last Friday against Wausau, he worked two scoreless in the beginning of that outing before surrendering four runs in that third frame the second time around the order. 2-0 is the count on Hamilton. A couple steps off first is Charlie Marion, the next pitch. Fastball grooved right in there from Williams for a called strike one. For Williams, mentioned now his second start as a Raptor. Wausau, last Friday, is where Williams began his season. Both of his starts coming here at historic Witter Field. The 2-1 misses low and inside for ball three on Davis Hamilton. The 6'2 redshirt junior out of the University of South Carolina Mentioned his three innings against Wausau, all four of those runs coming in the third, allowing five hits, walking two, striking out two of the 15 Woodchuck batters he faced. 3-1 the count. Williams set, first base side of the rubber, the payoff delivery. This one hit on a line, that's going to get into right field. It's a base hit. Marion goes first to second. Hamilton stays hot against the rafters. He extends a hitting streak now to 8 games. It'll bring up Alex Harrell. Harrell now playing in his third game of the season with the Mallards, starting back in the beginning of this first of four with the Raptors at the Duck Pond on Wednesday night. The Arkansas State home mountain product, mountain home I should say, 0-for-3 in his first game of the season. Did score two runs though and drove in two as well. Was 0-for-4 last night, had an RBI in the victory. First pitch to Harrell, hitting from the right side. A fastball from Williams, shooting the knees, working middle-middle. It's called a strike. On deck is the dangerous Blake Guerin. Will Vierling will follow him. Harrell is the beer batter tonight here at historic Witter Field. But more importantly, the Raptors could use a ground ball here from the right-handed hitting designated hitter. The 0-1 on the outside corner, just missing on that heater from Williams to even up the count at 1-1. Uniform matchup tonight, Mallards and their baby blues with the yellow trim down the side. Raptors going with the black slacks, white tops, and a debut hat for them this season, the all-black ball caps. On this Firework Friday, the fifth home game of the season. The 1-1 from Williams to Harrell. In on a line, caught by the shortstop or second baseman, Boston, I should say. The throw to short over to Boston covering the bag is in time. It is a 4-6 double play. Taking Marion off the base paths, now two outs in a runner on first here in the top of the first. It'll be Blake Guerin. Guerin, an RBI knock with two down in the third inning yesterday that made it a multi-run Mallard lead at 3-0 in the third. He had three hits against the Raptors on Wednesday and played 40 games at the Division I level and in the Big Ten Conference for the University of Iowa this past spring. On deck is the catcher Vierling, Jake Monroe to follow. Williams set, still out of the stretch with a runner at first. Fake steal on the first pitch. It's a breaking ball from Williams that misses downstairs for ball one. Righty-lefty, righty to open the home half of the first to begin the offensive showing tonight for Wisconsin Rapids. It'll be the center fielder Miles Vandenhoevel, the second baseman Trotter Boston, then the catcher Jack Matthey. Schaefer holding the runner on at first. That's Davis Hamilton, the 1-0. Hit on the ground, left side, back to third base. Glove by Degatti. Fire across the diamond is in time. Received in by Schaefer. It's a 5-3 put out of Blake Guerin to end the first inning. Ricky Williams faces just one over the minimum after allowing a leadoff walk and a single to the next batter, Davis Hamilton. But a huge line out into a 4-6 double play and a ground out of Guerin gets the Raptors out of the inning with a 0 up on the scoreboard. We head to the home half of the first from historic Witter Field. You're listening to Raptors Baseball on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
You've been listening to Rafter Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, American Shaman, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, S&S Distributing, Econ Electric, Greenaway RV, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep Dodge. Listen into Raptors Baseball here on WFHR all summer long or check us out on the Civic Media app.
Summer is finally here and outdoor adventure awaits. Get your adventure rolling with a camper from Greenway RV. As a family-owned dealership with 9 top 50 dealer awards for excellent customer service, they know the importance of quality time with loved ones. Plus, as a Route 66 network dealer, you can travel with peace of mind knowing help is just a phone call away. So kick off your next adventure with Greenway RV. You know you're in good hands. 8220 Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids or online at greenwayrv.com.
Hey baseball fans, are you ready to swing for the fences in your career instead of warming the bench? By joining Skyward's award-winning team, you'll put education technology solutions into the hands of school leaders who serve over 7 million students around the world. Innovation, collaboration, and fun are all a part of the Skyward culture. So what are you waiting for? Step up to the plate and apply today at www.skyward.com/careers.
Now, let's get back to exciting Rafters baseball here on WFHR.
Rafters come up to the plate for the first time in this Friday night ballgame at historic Witter Field. Andy Ockham, your voice of the Rafters on WFHR. It'll be the right-hander for the Madison Mallards, Coley Fitzpatrick, out on the mound for his second start of this 2024 Northwoods League season. Game 10 for both the Mallards and the Rafters. Madison entering tonight's ballgame at 6-3. Your Rafters just a game under 500 at 4 wins and 5 losses. The first pitch from Fitzpatrick, or I should say Kilpatrick, to Miles Vandenhoevel, misses high. Kilpatrick, in his first start of the summer, went 3 2/3 innings against Lakeshore. Back on June 1st, it was the last loss for Madison, as the 1-0 fastball is in there for a called strike. Went 3 2/3 innings, 8 hits allowed, 5 runs, 1 walk, and a strikeout against the Chinooks. And that's 7-4 loss. Coming out of North Carolina A&T is Kilpatrick. 1-1 pitch swung on and missed by Vandenhoevel to make it a ball and 2 strikes. At the collegiate level, Kilpatrick led his team in innings pitched by a wide margin this season at the Division I level, 30 2/3 innings higher than the next arm in terms of innings pitched on the staff. Set is the right-hander, the 1-2 to Vandenhoevel, swung on and missed. Strike 3 on Vandenhoevel, he's down to begin this bottom of the first. It'll bring up Trotter Boston. And at the end of last night's ball game, he came up to the plate with the Rafters trailing by 1-2 outs and runners on the corners in that 4-3 score. Hit a high fly ball to right field that was tough to see in the lights. His reaction and the reaction up in the press box at Warner Park was Boston had gotten all of it. It was a no-doubt homer, and the Rafters were going to take the lead as the first pitch from Kilpatrick to Boston has swung on and missed. Count begins 0-1 on the Rafters' second baseman. Instead, it drew the right fielder, who is now the center fielder tonight for Madison, Corbin Dickerson, back to the warning track. He then trotted in 10 feet, dove, and made the catch to end the ballgame. As the 0-1 pitch misses outside to the left-handed hitting Boston to even the count at 1-1. So the Rafters have dropped their last two, and what was supposed to be a 5-game road trip in 6 days ended up only being 4 games with a rainout on Monday in Mequon against the Chinooks. 1-1 pitch. Slow motion swing chasing out there as Boston. It's now a ball and 2 strikes. They lost the first game of the road trip last Saturday, 6 days ago in Wausau. It was a football score. The Woodchucks over the Rafters by a score of 17-10. Their lone win of the road stand came Sunday, a matinee 7-5 victory at Moonlight Grant Field against the Lakeshore Chinooks. 1-2 pitch. Boston down swinging. A couple strikeouts for Kilpatrick to begin his start. They had an undesigned day off on Monday with a rainout against the Chinooks. That'll be made up after the All-Star break as a doubleheader on that Thursday in July, third Thursday, I believe. Tuesday was the designated off day, and then Wednesday, Thursday, dropping a couple close ball games at Warner Park against these Mallards. First pitch from Kilpatrick to the Rafter catcher, Jack Matthews, bounced in there for ball one. You look at Matthew launching out a homer against Waterloo in the last homestand a week ago. Part of a 2-1 victory, that sixth inning homer that drove in Max McGuire was all the Rafters needed offensively that night. Fantastic pitching from the Siena products, Arnaud Mulemekic and Noah Rodriguez. The 1-0 from Kilpatrick to Matthew shoots this one the other way in the air down the right field line. That's going to drop foul. Count evens 1-1 here on Matthew. When you look at Matthew an evening ago, hit third and caught as well for the Rafters. Four hits for Matthew, 3 hits. An infield single in the third, had a base hit in the sixth, and the huge RBI double to tie the ballgame up at 3 in the seventh. Reached all 5 times he stepped into the batter's box last night as the 1-1 pitch is a fastball from Kilpatrick. Should say a breaking ball that Matthew swings right through, 80 miles an hour on the gun to make it 1-2. On deck is Jorge Degatti, Kyler McIntosh to follow. Kilpatrick set the next 2-strike delivery from the Mallard right-hander. High chopper on the infield, charging in as the shortstop Robinson right behind the mound. He'll throw to first in time. It's a 6-3 putout to retire Jack Matthew. The Rafters go down 1-2-3 in the home half of the first. We're through one here at historic Witter Field. 0-0 the score. 5-6-7, do it for Madison at the top of the second against the right-hander for your Rafters. Ricky Williams. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. You're listening to Rafters Baseball on your home of the Rafters. 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the ninth inning. Bases loaded and up to bat. Can you hear that crowd? Hear we? What just happened? Everything is dark. The lights are back on. Look at that.
Yes, the team invested in Generac generators from Econ Electric, so no one will miss a moment. Econ Electric is your neighborhood big league pro in Generac generators. Call Econ Electric at 715-423-8440 today.
Don't you score a new ride? Find a deal that hits out of the park with Johnson & Sons, your neighborhood Chrysler, Dodge, and Jeep dealer and service center. Serving Wisconsin Rapids and central Wisconsin area for over 84 years through four generations. See the difference that family can bring. Serving Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, Marshfield, Clover, Weston, and Cronenwetter. Take a swing. Don't miss out on these great deals at Johnson Chrysler Jeep in Wisconsin Rapids.
Better begins with the way we treat each other, the way we listen to one another, and the way we serve and support each other. At Aspirus Health, better begins with a commitment to help build healthy families, healthy relationships, and healthy communities throughout a lifetime, from generation to generation. For whatever needs to be better in your life, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
Let's get back to the ballpark and more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
5-6-7, do it for the Madison Mallards in the top of the second inning here in Wisconsin Rapids at historic Witter Field for more Rafters baseball. Andy Ockham, your voice of the Rafters here on WFHR. I want to thank you so much for tuning in to tonight's presentation of Raptor baseball, whether it's on the FM AM dial at 97.5 or 1320, or on your Civic Media app. We thank you for joining us in the 10th game of 72 here in this Northwoods League season. It's game 5 at home for the Raptors. The left-handed hitting catcher Will Vierling begins the frame against the right-hander for your Raptors, Ricky Williams, and the first pitch to him misses low and outside for ball one. It's Jake Monroe on deck, then Liam Moreno, the left fielder, to follow. Looking at Vierling, a product of the University of Louisville out of the ACC, hit sixth and caught on Wednesday in his fourth game of the season against the Raptors. 1-0 pitch. Trying to work arm side again is Williams, but it misses out for ball two. 1-for-3 with an RBI single was Vierling in that 9-6 Mallard win on Wednesday. 2-0 pitch. This one fouled back off the netting in front of the home plate club to make it 2-1. This past spring at Louisville, Vierling played in 16 games, made one start to begin his collegiate career, finished with a .231 average, a double, and four runs scored. The 2-1 pitch on the outside corner, a called strike two from the crew chief, Shem Martin behind home plate. Williams has worked an even count here at 2-2. Only two left-handed bats for the Rafters tonight, that being Boston McClanahan, three for the Mallards as the 2-2 pitch misses low and out to make it a full count to begin this top of the second inning. Two runners were aboard with nobody out. A huge double play, though, for the Rafters in the top of the first. Got them out of a jam. A 3-2 breaking ball tapped foul by Vierling. It was the leadoff batter Charlie Marion drawing a 5-pitch walk and then a base hit from Davis Hamilton, extending his hitting streak to 8 games. Then Alex Harrell, the 3-hitter, lined into a 4-6 double play, and then Blake Guerin, the dangerous cleanup hitter for the Mallards, grounded out to the third baseman Degatti to end the frame. So the next 3-2 delivery misses out in the right-handed batter's box. It's a 7-pitch walk taken by Will Vierling to begin this second frame. It'll bring up the six-hitter, Jake Monroe. Monroe, a .263 hitter thus far, a native of Champaign, Illinois, and John A. Logan Community College. 5 for his first 19, and looking at his time against the Raptors, had a hit back in the opener between these two teams. It was a double, and an RBI also walked twice on Wednesday. Righty-on-righty battle here. The first pitch from Williams to Monroe is there on the inside corner for a called strike. Last night, Monroe went hitless, struck out in one of his four at-bats, 0-for-4. He's got four doubles, four of his five knocks being doubles so far this season, has drawn four walks, been hit by a pitch once, and has struck out seven times. The 0-1 from Williams to Monroe, another breaking ball, and it's spun in there for a called strike two. Ricky, way ahead here. Nothing in two on Monroe. The left fielder, obviously, Moreno on deck. We enter the bottom third of the Madison order for the first time tonight. The Rafters in the home half of the second, 4-5-6, Degatti, McIntosh, and Jake Beauchesne. The 0-2. This one is hit foul. Caught him, handcuffed him inside, fouling it back. This will be the sixth game played in for Monroe this year. Coming off his sophomore season in junior college baseball. No runs on a hit, no errors for the Mallards. Zeros across the board after a 1-2-3 first inning for your Rafters. 0-2, swing and a miss. Working low and in there was Williams, and Monroe is fanned for the first out of the frame. It's the first strikeout for Ricky Williams this evening. Williams now just a pitch away from getting back into the dugout. He can induce a ground ball here from Liam Moreno. Moreno now playing in his ninth game, 9 of the 10 Mallard ball games this season for the St. Cloud State University. First pitch from Williams to him. A fastball in the inside corner. It's there for a called strike. A native of Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. Moreno, 1-for-3 last night. Scored a run, drew a walk against Rafter pitching. A couple steps off first is the leadoff man in this inning, Will Vierling. The 0-1 from Williams. Swing and a miss on a breaking ball. It's nothing in two. 81 on that off-speed delivery from the right-hander out of the University of South Carolina, Ricky Williams. That start that he had against Wausau a week ago on Friday, his first pitching appearance in competitive baseball and in a live game setting in 2 years nearly. The 0-2 to Moreno. This one hit on a line into left field. That's going to fall in front of Jake Beauchesne for a one-out single. Vierling first to second. He'll stay put there. Madison threatening once again with less than two outs in a frame and having two out on the base paths. It is Corbin Dickerson playing in his fifth game of this 2024 Northwoods League season to step in with a runner out scoring position. Another product of the University of Louisville, the redshirt freshman made the diving grab after battling it in the lights from that fly ball out of Trotter Boston's bat to end the game last night. Dickerson also went 1-for-3 at the dish, scored a run, and walked twice. And also played back on the second against Green Bay. He's had hit in every one of his four games except the 7-4 loss on June 1st against Lakeshore. Went 0-for-4 with a couple of punch-outs in that defeat. Williams set. The first pitch to Dickerson out of the 8th spot tonight for Madison. Another fastball in the inside corner and another called strike to begin in a plate appearance. On deck, it's the right-handed hitting shortstop Shea Robinson, then back to the top of the order with the right fielder Charlie Marion to follow. Williams peers into Jack Matthey, gets his signs, comes set. Right-hander, a deep breath, looks back at second, brings the one-strike delivery home, and it misses low and inside. Give our chance to obviously catch you up on the standings now that we're 10 to 11 games into the season. Some teams playing their 10th, some playing their 11th tonight. And obviously the good old Northwoods League scoreboard recap. Keeping that updated throughout the night across the league as well. The 1-1 from Ricky Williams. Swing and a miss from Dickerson. Count moves 1-2. Williams has been having strong command of his fastball so far tonight. Despite having a few runners reach base in each of the first two innings, he's continuing to stay ahead in counts. Ricky set. 9 on the pitch clock. His 1-2 delivery. He got him looking on the inside corner. First strikeout for Williams tonight, and it's the second out of the inning. 89 on that heater from the right-hander. And it'll be Shea Robinson. Out of the 9th spot, it's up to him if Madison wants to continue this inning and put with themselves within striking distance of scoring any runs. The Illinois State Redbird will climb in. Plenty of time to work. Vierling drawing a leadoff walk is on second. A one-out single from Liam Moreno has him at first. First pitch to Robinson. Hits this one in the air the other way. McClanahan backing up on it and camping underneath to make the grab and retire the side. Another scoreless inning for Ricky Williams. The Mallards leave two out on the base paths, and we have a nothing-nothing ball game from historic Witter Field. 4-5-6, two up for Wisconsin Rapids in the home half of the inning. It's Jorge Degatti's first plate appearance back at Witter Field after playing 39 games with the club last season, followed up with Kyler McIntosh and Jake Beauchesne. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Raptors Baseball on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hey, baseball fans. Are you ready to swing for the fences in your career instead of warming the bench? By joining Skyward's award-winning team, you'll put education technology solutions into the hands of school leaders who serve over 7 million students around the world. Innovation, collaboration, and fun are all a part of the Skyward culture. So what are you waiting for? Step up to the plate and apply today at www.skyward.com/careers.
With combined decades of experience, the team at Pro Seamless of Wisconsin is here to help with exterior projects ranging from siding, roofing, windows, and gutters. The new exterior showroom helps complete the 3D visualizer picture and will bring any project you're dreaming of to life. Wisconsinites know the weather changes fast and can be unforgiving. Call 715-423-5616 for a dedicated and caring team that will be there to help from start to finish. Pro Seamless of Wisconsin is here to help.
Battleground, purple, swing state. You've heard the terms, but what connects it to elections? Wisconsin has been a swing state off and on since the 1950s, but